wasn't last week Easter an amazing service? Praise God, what an amazing word Pastor Cam had. And I was sitting there, I was so into it. One of the things that I guess that kind of shocked me when he started the service and said, "Let's talk about death." Y'all remember that? He said, "Let's talk about death." And I'm sitting there going, "What? This is Easter." So I'm going to start out today. Let's talk about death. and then we're going to talk about life. But one of the things that we sang in a song, especially if you are a visitor with us for the very first time, and if you are, we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we were singing that song, it says, "I will never die." You know, some people might look at that or are hearing the service and going, "What? What do you mean everybody is going to die?" But in actuality, it's talking about, yes, physical death. Unless Jesus comes back in our lifetime, yes, we will all go the way of the earth and we will eventually die. But just because you put off this physical body doesn't mean that you're dead. Matter of fact, you become more alive than you ever have because you have released this earth suit. And you, man, you have stepped into glory, the glorious, glorious presence of the Lord. But not only is His presence where we go in called heaven, but His presence is here right now. Do you realize that? And that's something that we want to talk about. But when I talk about death, death is not a scary thing. You know, like if I took off this jacket right now and just laid it down right here in front of you, and I would say, "Now I want all of you to come and view my jacket," because the jacket is only alive because I'm in it. Amen? So the only reason your body is alive is because you are in it. Who's in it? Your spirit man is on the inside of it. Your spirit man, the real you. And the real identity lies on the inside of you, even though biologically you have a DNA, you have characteristics and features concerning your family, but yet at the same time, the real you is created in the image of God. And God has a plan and He has a purpose for every single one of us. So that's the reason that it's important that the way we live really, really counts. Counts more than what people really understand. You can achieve all kinds of accolades. You can achieve all kinds of titles. You can win all kinds of things. You can accumulate material things. You can have all the things that people look and think that this is success. If I have that, or if I have that person, or if I look like this, look like that, if I achieve this, if I accomplish that, you know, so people will affirm me, people will like me, people will think that I'm important. I look at my successes. But there's one thing that we don't look at. Because all of that I just mentioned to you is a part of our lives, but there is only one thing that will follow you to heaven. Only one thing. And it's amazing because when we talk about this thing that we're going to talk about this morning, about what will follow you to heaven, is this. A lot of people, when they preach the grace message, they think that anytime you talk about works, that you're becoming legalistic. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a great announcement for you. And sometimes we can say, "Oh me and oh my," when we find this out. But the most important thing, and you're going to see this, and I'm going to take you on a journey through the scripture, and you're going to see this, but the most important thing for you to understand after salvation, what means more than anything else on this earth is your works. And that is synonymous with doing the will of God. That's the reason we're talking about walking with God and walking in the will of God. Let me read this. This is not actually in my notes, but they'll hear it in media and probably get it up on the screen. But I want to read to you from Revelation, the 14th chapter, verse 13. And listen to this, what it says. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write. Now, when God speaks from heaven and says, write, that means it's very important. It means we take notice of this. He said, write. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they may rest from their labors. And the word labors there means they will rest from their trouble. They will rest from their pain. They will have a rest from all the things that we face and go through in this earth. He said, you'll rest from that. Because in heaven, you're not going to be doing that. In heaven, you're going to have the ultimate rest. So he says, they may rest from their labors, and listen to this, and their works follow them. Their works follow them. Now, it's amazing that when you read Jesus addressing the churches, the seven churches in the book of Revelation, the second chapter and chapter 3, 2 and 3, you'll find this in every single church. He says this. He says a lot to them, giving them instruction and things, but he says this. He says to every single one of them, I know your works. 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 Matter of fact, when it comes to the true, everybody say true, to the true family of God, to understand who really is a true son and daughter of God, works and doing the will of God is extremely important. See, a lot of times we think that we're just here on the earth until we go to heaven. You know, we're just kind of breezing through. We're like sojourners. We're like pilgrims, and the Bible actually says that. But, you know, I'm just waiting that one day afterwards I'll go to heaven and yes, I'm going to rest from all my work and all my trouble and all my toil and all my pain from that. But ladies and gentlemen, while we are here, it is very important that we understand that God is looking at, Jesus is looking at our life, our lifestyle, listening to our words and seeing everything that we're doing, because on this earth we are supposed to be kingdom-minded. That's the reason in the book of Colossians it says, set your mind on the things above where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and don't get caught up. Don't get into a place where all of a sudden your whole life, the meaning of it, your identification comes from the earth, comes from the world, the system of the world, the culture of the world. He said, no. He said, you've got to understand the kingdom culture. You've got to understand what it means to be kingdom-minded, because there is coming a day, and according to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, it tells us that when we stand before Jesus, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ, and that's for all Christians, and when we stand before Jesus, he's going to judge us by what we have done in this body while we were on this earth. And so, let me show you and prove to you that the true family of God is revealed from a true heart being obedient to God's word, being obedient to Jesus, and doing the will of God. Let's turn to Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 46. Matthew 12. Go ahead. You can shout every single time. That'd be... We shout all the time. We are a church that is alive. Yes. Matthew 12, 46 through 50, it says this. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mothers and brothers stood outside asking to speak with him. The reason they wanted to speak with him, because they thought he was crazy. There are people who think you're crazy too, even in your own family. When you're totally sold out to God and doing his will, people will think that you have lost it. Okay, they don't mind you going to church. It's just that when you start exercising faith and you start doing the will of God, people are going to think that you're just Looney Tunes at times. Sometimes they'll mock you, laugh at you, make fun at you. And then a lot of you, like some of my friends after I got saved, they'll try to turn you back to run with them. Oh, the enemy will send your friends back to you. Or he'll try to introduce you to other people. Okay, so Jesus is talking and he said, hey, your brothers, your mother and your brothers, they're outside and they want to speak to you. So Jesus said, he made this statement. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples, And that word disciple there means to his followers. So he pointed to his followers and said, look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Anyone who does what? The will of my Father. So, if he's talking about the true family of God, then there must be some folks. And turn to somebody next to you real quick and say, now he's not talking about you. He's not talking about you. Turn to, if you're watching this, just turn to say, he's not talking about you. He's not talking about you. But there evidently, if there's a true family of God, there must be some people that are counterfeit. They even attend church. They even go to religious settings and involve themselves in religious ceremonies and in religious institutions and things of that nature. But their works outside of them attending church denies that they really know Jesus. Let me show you this. Titus, the first chapter, verse 16. Says this, they profess to know God. Oh, I know God. Oh, I know Jesus. They profess to know God. But now listen to this, because this is so important. But in works, they deny him. Being abominable, which means being idolatrous. Being abominable, being disobedient and disqualified for every good work. Now think about that. Where have we heard that before about being disqualified? The Apostle Paul made this statement in Corinthians. He said, I buffet my body. I buffet. He didn't say, I buffet my body. I have to make that clear because we're in the South, okay? Because we believe in buffets. Okay, so he said, I buffet my body. I buffet my body. So that when I preach the gospel, I will not become disqualified. So, what did he do? He said, if I allow the lust or the impulses that pop up in this flesh that I live in, if I allow them to dictate to me my lifestyle, he said, then I can still preach and yet become disqualified. So again, works, lifestyle is so important. A lot of people, when they teach the grace message, they kind of teach it that according to grace, I can live and do just about anything I want to do. I can run and, and enjoy everything. And yes, God has given us life to enjoy. We should be enjoying life. All right? But to go out and live a sinful lifestyle because I feel like that I'm under grace, I can do anything I want to do, is a misinterpretation of the Scripture, of what the Bible tells us. Okay? So it says, disqualified from every good work. So now listen to this very carefully. Doing your own good works, membership, or confirmation in a church or religion, being born or raised in a Christian family or religion, cannot gain or bring you entrance into the family of God. But the one who has been saved, who has received Jesus as the Lord of their life, the one who has truly been born again in the family of God, is considered a true member of the family as he or she, listen to this, is consistently obedient, doing God's will. The Word of God declares that doing the will of God is tied into also doing good works. The will of God and doing good works are synonymous with one another. Listen to Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 10, because I'm going to show you that when you got born again, God actually, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And as you became a new creature in Christ Jesus, the Bible says that over in 2 Corinthians, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. God created you for good works. Listen to Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 8. For by grace, we have been saved through faith. You can't leave out faith, okay? For by grace you have been saved. Thank God for His grace, that it is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. So you can't be saved by works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for, say it, for what? Say it again. Say it out loud. So what are we, after we are saved and we're created as new creatures in Christ Jesus, what are we created for? Good works, which God prepared. Now watch this. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Remember when we talked about in Psalms 139, where it talks about every day of our life was written before we ever lived one of them? In whose book? In God's book. In God's book. God wrote it. And what were those? What was He writing in there? He was writing our autobiography to walk in accordance to His will. That's the reason it's so important, and we've talked about this, it's so important for you to pray every single day, not my will, but Your will be done. Every day. Every day. Holy Spirit, You know what's already been written in God's book, in my Father's book, about my life before I ever lived it. So today, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, and direct me to walk in the will of my Father today. And then you know what I do? I get up, I get everything ready, and then I go to work, knowing and believing that every step that I take, God's going to direct it. All right? So, as we see here, it says, for grace you have been saved, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. So, salvation is not the result of our good works, but good works, doing the will of God, are the result, the evidence, and the proof of our salvation, our obedience, and our love for Jesus. I'm going to say that one more time. Salvation is not the result of our good works, because we're saved by grace through faith. But doing the will of God, and doing the will of God, but the evidence and the proof of our salvation and our obedience is that we are born again. That's right. That we are born again. Okay? So good works are a genuine representation of a son and daughter of God. Listen to Titus, the second chapter, verse 11. And this will teach us what grace teaches us. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What was that grace? The grace of Jesus Christ dying on the cross so that we could be born again. In other words, grace is basically this. It's God giving us everything that he has, giving himself and giving everything that he had to us when we didn't even deserve it. But he gave it to us because he favored us, because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is the grace of God. He did all of this for us. You can't do anything. You can't add to it. When Jesus said it's finished, he didn't say this is going to be a sequel to be continued and we'll run reruns in the summer. He didn't say that. He said it is finished. It is done. The grace of God. And then we get the mercy of God. And God's mercies are new every single morning. And God's mercy is we don't get what we deserve to get. Jesus took it all. Took it all for every single one of us. And then he said, it is finished. So the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men. Now here's what the grace of God teaches us. Not only does the grace of God teach us, but the grace of God empowers us. How does the grace of God empower us? Remember, the Bible tells us that we are not to insult the Spirit of grace, which is the Holy Spirit. So he says, here's what the grace of God teaches us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is returning. He is going to be coming back. Glory to God. Who gave himself for us. Now watch this. That he might redeem us from every lawless deed. He redeems us from every sin. Because lawlessness is sin. He redeems us from sin. He redeems us from every sinful act that we had been a part of. He redeems us. He cleanses us by his blood from every lawless deed. And what does he do? But he purifies for himself his own special people. The word special there means to be redeemed and purchased. His own special people. Watch this. Zealous for good works. Zealous means I don't sit here like I'm in a cemetery. It doesn't mean that I go out there and act like that I have no life in me. I am zealous. I am on fire. Especially when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I am on fire to do good works, to do great things for the kingdom of the living God as long as I'm here. I don't know how long I'll be here, but as long as I'm here, I'm going to be on fire. I'm going to be zealous. I'm going to be fervent. I'm going to be passionate. What? To do good works. To do the works of the Lord. To bless people, to help people. I almost got ahead of myself, but I'm not going to do it. Listen to this. I want to show you right here where it says zealous for good works. I want to show you what Jesus said about good works. John, the 10th chapter, verse 37 and 38, it says this. Jesus is talking and he's speaking about works. He said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. Wow. Do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works. That is amazing. you're going to see in just a minute, people may laugh at you, mock at you, and they may not believe in Jesus. But when Jesus comes back, they will remember the way you lived, the way you talked, the things that you did for the kingdom of God. And they will give glory to God because you were their example. You were their billboard. You were their sign. You were their light. Even though if they didn't, they can't deny the way that you were living. He said, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, watch this, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father, here's the key, that the Father is in me and I in him. So in other words, the outer works of Jesus, the things that he did, gave evidence and proof of an inner connection with the Spirit of the living God. Inner connection with his Heavenly Father. It gave proof of a love relationship. Because the Bible says, Jesus said this, if you love me, you will obey me. So it showed a love connection that he loved his Father more than anything else because he would obey him and he would do the works that his Father wanted him to do. So there's an interconnection, a love relationship, and obedience to and with his Heavenly Father. Listen to what he said in John the 14th chapter, verse 10 and 14. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me, watch this, he does the works. In other words, he is now making also synonymous the words that he speaks are the words of God, and those words always have action. Because faith, come on, faith without is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. So Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Let me say this. We are now sons and daughters of the living God if you have been born again. Sons and daughters of the living God. We are the children of God. If you have seen me, you should see the Father.
Yes, sir.
If I have seen you, I should see the Father. How? By your works, by your words, by your actions, by your deeds, by your lifestyle. I should see that there is an inner working on the inside of you, an inner presence, an inner power on the inside of you that causes you to be fervent, causes you to be passionate, causes you to be zealous to do his works. I am trying. Listen to this. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Oh, Pastor, you're talking about Jesus. Hold on, don't go anywhere, because I'm going to be talking about you in just a minute with the same identical verbiage. Listen to this and terminology. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. All right, are you ready for this? Turn to somebody and say, are you ready for this next statement? Get ready, because he's going to be talking about you now. Are you ready? Listen to this. Jesus is speaking. This is Jesus saying this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. How many of you believe in Jesus? You are a believer. You are a believer. Watch this. The works that I do, will he,
yes, sir,
he or she do also. And greater works. That doesn't mean greater in quality, but greater in quantity, because Jesus is going to multiply himself by his and through his disciples, by and through being born again in the Holy Spirit. He said, greater works, more works. More works. It is amazing. The Bible says that if all the works that Jesus did would be written. There was not enough books in the world that could hold it all. And he was only here for 3.5 years. 3.5 years doing the, actually operating and doing the will of the Father. 3.5 years. Now think, why are we writing history? Because, yeah, the Bible has been written, but all the works that God desires to be done on this earth. Well, don't you know about COVID? Yes, I know about COVID. Don't you know about this? Yes, but there is no place in the Bible says that whatever plague or calamity comes, that we are to stop doing the works of Jesus. That we are to hide ourselves and go live in caves. There are still sick people. There are still people that need Jesus. There are people that are mentally ill that need deliverance. What do we do? Go hide in a cave and let the devil and all of his demons run rapid and just do anything they want to do? It's not who the church is. Bible tells me the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Are we still the church? Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes, not he who is an apostle, he who is an evangelist, he who is a pastor or a teacher or a prophet. It says he's talking right now to believers. He who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and what? Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And when he goes to the Father, he now authorizes us. He said, I'm going to give you power of attorney. You're going to act in my stead. You're going to do everything that I did. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to chew on that like a cow chewing a cud. You're going to have to chew on it, spit it up, chew on it again, chew on it again, chew it on again. Because most of us look at ourselves as weak, namby-pamby, scaredy cats. I have never seen so many Christians living in so much fear. We are literally, most of the church right now, I think that this is safe to say, most of the church right now is living in a state of fear instead of faith. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. Okay, so you say, well, this is just Jesus. All right? He said, he who believes, I'm going to show it to you even more in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 12. The same way Jesus did his works are the same way we do his works. These works are called good works. Verse 12. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, therefore, my beloved, talking to us, the church, as you have always obeyed, not only in my, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen to me very carefully, okay? Now, Jesus was working out, doing the works of the Father. To work something out means that you're working from inward to outward. It means that there is a power that is inside of you, that is in you, that is in your inner being, that causes the works outwardly to manifest. I'm not talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is what keeps us motivated to do the good works. So he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, you're saved. You receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. Now, he said, get out there and work out. You're living from the inside, and it's manifesting on the outside. What or who is living on the inside that wants to manifest himself on the outside? What did Jesus say? The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Listen to the next scripture in verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and do his good pleasure.
Come on.
So that which is working outwardly is beginning and has its origin on the inside of me. And who's on the inside of me wants to work out through me to do his works. So he said, do all things. Oh, no, this can't be in here. Let me. I'm going to skip 14. Well, let's go to 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without. I think 2020 was the year of complaint. The year of murmuring and complaint. So he says, do all things without complaining and disputing. That means arguing with one another. It also means this. It also means to dispute the power of God. Disputing. There are people to sit around and argue. Pastor David could tell you this. There are people to sit around and argue whether or not the cross was really the cross. The death of Jesus was really the death of Jesus. And did he really resurrect? Listen, you can't get caught up in all of this crazy theology when we just need to be about doing our Father's business. We need to be about doing good works. Okay, so he said, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Are we living in that right now?
Yes.
Now watch this. Among whom you shine as lights. You shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that you may rejoice in the day of Christ, so that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So he says, okay, you're supposed to shine as lights in a crooked and perverse generation. Shine as lights. What does it mean to shine as a light? Does that mean that you have this little chain and you get among people and you pull it and you light up like a light bulb, like a lamp? Let me ask you this. You see these pictures where Jesus is walking around with a halo. He didn't walk around with a halo. He walked around with God on the inside of him. He was God in the flesh, but he was also a human being and came to show us how to live in relationship and obedience and love with our Heavenly Father so that we could love everybody else. Okay, so he says, shine as lights. What does that mean? What does that refer to? What does that indicate? Look at Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 14 and 16. Jesus, again, is speaking. He said, you are the light of the world. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking about you now. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Now watch this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What does it mean to shine for Jesus? It means show me the evidence of your salvation. Show me your good works. Talk is cheap. You can talk to me all day long about how much you love Jesus, but I want to see it. I want to see it when you're at work. I want to see it when you're at school. I want to see it when you're at home. I want to see it. Is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? By your good works. And by the way, good works, when we talk about the works of Jesus, everybody thinks about supernatural manifestations and the power of God. Yes, that is there, and that's a part of it. But good works are not just miracles and healings and supernatural manifestations, but good deeds to serve and to bless others. Let me read something to you from Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 36. This is a woman that died, and Peter came and raised her from the dead. And her name was Dorcas. It says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named it starts with a T. Which is translated Dorcas. I can say that. Listen to this now. Here is the testimony written by the Spirit of God. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Good works and charitable deeds. It didn't say one thing about her laying hands on people and healing people and operating the gifts of the Spirit. Even though that's very important, okay? But I'm trying to get you to understand everyday living right now. Your vocation, your work. So he says, this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. And of course, she died. And they went to get Peter. And in verse 39, it says, then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, watch this, this is the proof of her good works. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. It was proof of her good works. What was she doing with the widows? She was making them clothes to keep them warm. She was making them tunics. She was doing things for them. You may not have a sewing machine, but can you cook for somebody? You may not even be able to cook, but can you go to where they do cook food and bring something to somebody that's in need? See, this is the way we're supposed to be thinking on earth. We're not supposed to be thinking the way the culture thinks. That is totally, completely opposite and contrary to the way that God thinks. Remember, the culture is doing everything according to the flesh in opposition and in antagonistic toward God. When we get saved, He takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and places us into the kingdom of God, or the family of God, into the kingdom of light. So good works are the good things that we do to be a blessing to others. You know, one of the things that I do in the morning in my prayer time is I say, God, if there is a need out there that I can be a blessing to somebody, please bring that person across my path. It may be in a restaurant. It has happened to me so many times. I just say, Lord, bring that person across my path. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes it may happen once a week. Sometimes it happens once a day. But how can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing to others? You know, so many people today, this is the mentality of the culture today, the mentality of so many in the church today. And that is this. Who can be a blessing to me today? What can somebody give me today? People should be giving me what they have, or at least give half of what they have to me. That's the mentality in so many people today. And that is so opposite of the kingdom mentality. The kingdom mentality is not me getting up wondering who can bless me, what people can do for me. I love what John F. Kennedy said. Remember what he said? Ask not. what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Ask not what people can do for you. Ask and prove what you can do for others. I knew it'd get quiet in here. So good works are the good things that we do to be a blessing to others, praying for others and praying for one another. It is manifested in marriage as a husband and wife love and serve one another. Good works represents the honor given by children through obedience to parents or a parent, being good students in school, being good employees and being good employers, doing good works in our church by serving and giving, by sharing the good news of Jesus and inviting people to come to church. It is you thinking with kingdom mentality that why I am on this earth, when I go to work, when I go to the marketplace, when I go shopping, when I go on vacation, when I do whatever I do, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing? It's just like in the fall time, after the first frost, so many people are a blessing to me by bringing me collards. See, that's how you bless somebody. Because collards keep you healthy. But the reason I use that example is this. Is because people know I love collards. Okay? Tava is shivering right now because all she can see is me cleaning out the freezer with all the collards that will be coming in. So... But here's the thing. But listen, I use this example as this. People know that I love collards. Let me ask you this. Who do you know and what do they love? That you can be a blessing to them. Some of you, you don't think you have any gifts and you won't have any talents, and yet you use them every single day and you don't even think about taking them to bless someone else when you are so gifted. And you don't even see yourself as gifted. If all we do is think about self, you'll be the most depressed person in the world. When you start thinking about how can I be a blessing to somebody, how can I help somebody, and I mean, it is incredible with social media, instead of arguing with one another and attacking one another, you could be such a blessing by sharing the gospel on your social media. Who in the world wants to see a selfie of you after you've just... And I think the word describes it all. Selfie. Selfie. Think about it. We have got to get away from thinking about self so much that we have forgot about the people around us that are hurting, that are broken, that are bruised, and being kingdom-minded. And thinking, okay, my good works are going to follow me. And I know some of you are sitting there going, man, I got a lot of catching up to do. No, just start now. Start right now. Listen to this. Doing good works must also be in alignment with an obedient lifestyle that brings honor and glory to the Father and Jesus. An obedient lifestyle emerges from a heart of love for my Heavenly Father, His Word, and His will. Good works and sinful lifestyles are like trying to mix oil and water together. They don't mix and they can be majorly destructive. Listen to what Jesus said in John 7, verse 21 and 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does There it is again. But he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done mighty wonders in your name? And then I will declare from them, I never knew you, depart from me. And here's the key, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, you who have a sinful lifestyle. And you declare my name. When we live in sin and we have received Jesus as the Lord of our life, we are living so far below God's grace, God's power, the things that God wants us to do. Doing good works is not just standing here preaching the gospel. I was called to do this, but doing good works is where you working. The places you are, in your home, everywhere you go. Andy, when you drive your truck all over the United States, it is there. It is doing good works for people that are there helping them. Seeing somebody in trouble. And now today you have to use wisdom. See somebody in trouble and attempting sometimes to help them. But let me say this. In the day and time we're living in, use wisdom. Use wisdom. Okay? So he said, I'll declare to them I never knew you. So listen, especially going in these days we're living in right now. What he's saying is even supernatural manifestations does not mean that somebody is living for Jesus. And it is amazing how many Christians get so caught up and overwhelmed and enamored by people that have supernatural manifestations, but their lifestyle is totally opposite of the way they're supposed to live. Those two don't add up. Something is wrong. You say, well, then how can somebody have supernatural manifestations? How can somebody like this have supernatural manifestations? And Jesus said, I never knew you. I'll tell you why. Because when somebody has the gift is without repentance. The gift will work. The gifts of the Spirit will work. You know why? Because somebody will preach the Word of God. And people will listen to it. And people will receive it by faith. And there will be supernatural manifestations. But it does not mean that that person is living their life for Jesus. It's getting too quiet. I need somebody just to shout right now. Okay. Thank you. I feel like I'm at home now. So listen to what James says about what Jesus said. Jesus is talking about, he said supernatural manifestations. Listen, I say this to young pastors all the time. And Christians, especially young pastors, they start out kingdom minded. But then after a while, they want to be affirmed by their peers. They want to be accepted. So they start making allowances and begin to compromise things because they want the attention. They want the glory. They want the honor. They started out kingdom-minded, but they get over into selfish ambition. In other words, they begin to build their own kingdom. Are you building your own kingdom? Is everything that you're building all about you? That you want to be recognized by people? You want to be affirmed by people? You want to get all the praise and you want to get all the honor and the glory? That means that I started out kingdom-minded, but I've got over into it's all about me. And when you become a person that becomes selfish and full of selfish ambition, You'll be mean. You will. You'll be mean because it's all about you. And if it's all about you, you want all the attention. You want, oh my gracious, he's a great preacher. He's a great teacher. Oh, they're a great Christian. You better give the glory and honor to God. You better point it back to him. you better give everything back to Him. You better bless His holy name. You better bless Him in all that you do. Hey, listen, there is nothing wrong. We've had so many teachers in this church that have become the teacher of the year, but every single one of them say, I give all the glory to God. That's the key, that you give glory to God. You're not doing it for your glory. You're not doing it for yourself. But also don't get into a false humility.
Oh, well, I'm just an old pilgrim just passing through. No one will stay humble.
No. Humility is recognizing the God like Jesus did. Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient, but He also always recognized and said, it's the Father who does the works. They even called Him good one time. He is God in the flesh. God in the flesh. He is a perfect human being. And they said, good master. And He turned around and He said, there's not one good, but there's only one good, and that's my Father. So, listen to this. I got to finish this up. I could do this for many hours. But I'm having mercy on you. James, the third chapter. Listen to this. If you are wise and understand God's ways, listen to this. Prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. Is that in there? Willing to yield to others. It is, listen to this, it is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and have a harvest of righteousness. So we just found out that conduct, conversation, humility, love, obedience, serving, giving, and being kingdom-minded with good works are the visible identification signs to everyone, believers and unbelievers, that we are the children of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the last thing I want to leave with you is this. Remember who you are. Remember who you are and what God created you for. 1 Peter, the second chapter, says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and the holy nation there, it means chaste, pure. It's the fundamental idea is separation, consecration, devotion to the service of God, sharing in God's purity and abstaining from the earth's defilement. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You once were not the people, but you are now the people of God who had not attained mercy, but now you have attained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. I could spend an hour talking about that. Having your conduct, listen to this, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, which means having your conduct, your behavior, your conversation honorable among the unbelievers. Now watch this. Are you ready for this? That when they speak against you as evildoers. I don't know if y'all saw the guy for USA Today that when Oral Roberts University was playing in the NCAA basketball tournament, He wrote this whole article. I have it on my phone. He wrote this whole article about how Oral Roberts University should be taken out of the NCAA basketball tournament because of what they believe and stand for. I mean, I'm talking about an editorial. See, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, even if they speak against you as evildoers. Now watch this. Are you ready for this? That they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In the day, that means that when they stand before God, it is going to be undeniable that Jesus Christ is Lord, because you are going to be the example that God will use to them, because the way you acted, the way you talked, and the things that you did around people, where you work, where you go, your school, your workplace, everything that you do, you're doing it in the, what does the Bible say? Everything that you do, every deed that you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Everything. 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 And what does the Bible tell us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 24 and 25? It says, what are we to do? Stir up one another for good works. And forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as some have done. And that's not a shot at those that are viewing, because are using wisdom in what they do. But there is coming a time that we've got to get back our lives. We must be about our Father's business. I do not want to stand before Jesus and be ashamed that I drew back in fear. Not saying use wisdom, I'm saying use wisdom. But took me totally out of life. Amen. There is a time, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to come to. Please hear me. That we must start again to walk in faith. Amen. We must begin to trust God and His Word. The world needs to see us operating in faith, believing God. Okay? And again, I am not condemning anybody concerning staying at home or whatever. I'm just saying that as we move forward, we've got to move forward with good works. We've got to realize that Jesus is coming back soon, and that this generation must know and understand God and know Jesus. And we are the lights. And there are so many people today used by the devil that is trying to put the light out. Trying to put it out in America. And this is where you and I, wherever we go, whatever we do, we walk in love, we walk in forgiveness, we walk in mercy, we walk in grace, and we look to do good things to bless other people. Can you say amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? The greatest good work that was ever done was the cross of Jesus Christ. And then God raised Him from the dead. That good work that was done by Jesus allows every single human being to be forgiven of all their sin. How do I get my sin forgiven, Pastor? Is I must receive God's gift. It's not of your works. Works comes after salvation. It's not of your works. It's simply that you take your whole life and you just give it to Him. All your mess, all your goof-ups, all your mistakes, all your sin, everything, you give it to Him. So many people say, oh, if I can just get better. You can't get better. That's the whole key. You can only get better when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you. And the only way that happens is when you receive Him as the Lord of your life. Today you may say, Pastor, I listened to this message and man, I've been living for this earth. I really didn't understand this like you explained it this morning, like the Word of God I heard. And I actually have been living in sin. I mean, there's a lot of things that I do that right now I am ashamed of. And I want to ask God to forgive me. Today, right now, because I want to start out. When I leave this place, I want to be fresh. I want to start out brand new. And I want to ask God to forgive me. Because there are things that I know that are works of the flesh and not the good works of the Spirit of God. It's not that we don't make mistakes. We make mistakes, but we need to be quick to repent of those mistakes and continue to move forward. So today, if you want to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, here in this auditorium, those that are viewing us, or maybe you say, I've been away from God, or I've backslidden, and I'm not living the way I should live, and I need to repent of it right now. So in any one of those categories, if that's you and you want to be in this prayer that I'm getting ready to pray, all I want you to do right now is slip up your hand all over this auditorium. Say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Anyone else? Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, Pat, yes, God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh. Before I pray, the Spirit of God just dropped something on the inside of me. I want everybody to bow your head with this. This is what I'm getting ready to say. I really want you to bow your head. I don't want anybody looking around. And those of you that are viewing me. But here's what the Lord just dropped in my heart. If you have been hateful or even prejudiced against another brother or sister, and you have said some hateful things or posted some hateful things, do not leave this place without repentance. Without repentance. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to say when I pray this prayer and we all pray together that you pray this. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're into prejudice or loving less someone because of the color of their skin, or you've said hateful things or done things or posted things. You know what Jesus said to the churches? He said, I know your works. I know what you're posting. I know what you're saying. I know what you're doing. Don't take yourself out of the blessings of God. Don't take yourself out from under the protection of God. Don't get caught up in this culture. That's the way you used to be before you got saved. Now, you are a love machine. Loving like Jesus. Forgiving. So all of you that raised your hands and those that word was for right now, I want you to pray this out loud with me. Father God, let's all pray together with them. Father God, we thank you this day for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross, which was a symbol of my sin coming upon Jesus, a symbol of death, but then you raised him from the dead, the symbol of life everlasting. Today, I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And today, right now, this is forever. This is not just a moment. This is for the rest of my life. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me, saving me, and delivering me. And I declare right now, I am a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, give God praise. Come on, stand up and give Him praise.